بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي كفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه، صدق الله العظيم. Ma'azzat ulama-i kiram, brothers, elders in Islam, after our sabr discussing how important for us to remain vigilant against the attacks that are taking place upon Islam in various forms, because they should realize that Islam is going to be the dominant religion of the world. It is spreading throughout the world like wildfire. The fastest growing religion in the world today is Islam. Numbers already upwards of 1 billion. And this has got the enemies of Islam worried. The Quran Karim also states, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. That if a person searches for any other deen besides Islam, whether it be Judaism, Christianity, whatever, it will never be accepted. Because now the dominating deen is deen Islam. It has abrogated all the previous divine religions sent down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So because Islam is spreading so fast, this is causing concern among the enemies of Islam. They are trying all ways to tarnish the image of Islam, to try and wipe Islam off the earth. But this will be impossible to do. Because Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِمْ وَاللَّهُ مُتِمَّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. That they wish to extinguish the light of Allah, meaning the deen of Islam, with their mouths, in others with their false propaganda, using all resources at their disposal to tarnish the image of Islam. But Allah Ta'ala says, Allah will let the light of Islam reach completion, even though the kuffar may hate this. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَىٰ وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ. It is Allah who has sent His Rasul with guidance, with the true deen, لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ, so that Allah can make the deen of Islam dominant over all religions. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. Even though the mushrikun hate this. So no matter how much their propaganda machinery comes into action, how much they wish to harm the image of Islam through their caricatures, cartoons, whereby they are insulting our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by creating an atmosphere of Islamophobia, hysteria among the people, making people believe, creating the perception that every Muslim is a terrorist, no matter how they try, but all the attempts are backfiring upon them. Instead of tarnishing the image of Islam, Islam is spreading further and further. In this verse, Allah Ta'ala says that He shall make Islam the dominant religion over all other religions. In a hadith, so Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu has prophesied that a time will come when the message of Islam will reach every nook and cranny of the world, every home, whether it is a concrete structure, whether it is a makeshift hut made of wood and mud, the message of Islam will reach every home in the entire world. And that is what is happening at the moment. So all the attempts are backfiring upon them. When the incident of 9/11 took place, where the Twin Towers were bombed and the blame was put on Muslims, this had a positive effect for Islam. Many people became more curious to learn about Islam. People in the USA tell us that after the 9/11 incident, people want to learn more about the deen, about Muslims, so much so that copies of the Quran, English translations, were snapped up from the bookshops. It was difficult to even get a single copy of an English translation of the Quran, that is how much interest was created. In this cartoon saga in France, also backfiring upon them. Now they are making excuses, justifying the statements that we had no reason to harm Islam, yet openly they wish to tarnish Islam. They have even put on these caricatures, the cartoons, on huge billboards in order to, so to say, anger Muslims. And things have backfired upon them. Wherever they try with the propaganda machinery to harm the image of Islam, more and more people are entering the fold of Islam. Daily, thousands of people are entering the fold of Islam. We find during the British regime of India, ruling over India, when British controlled India, one of their colonies, at that point of time, a British author by the name of W.W. Hunter, he wrote in one of his books that under our government, under the British government, we cannot cater for the religious education of Muslims. In fact, we deem that to be detrimental to our cause. One MP stood up in British Parliament and he said, we have to produce such a Muslim youth who, in terms of the blood and family lineage, may be Indian, but in terms of the outlook towards life, the mentality, they must be British through and through. That we must create that British culture within them. Let them forget the Islamic ideals and the Islamic practices. A man by the name of Mr. Curzon, he said to the British government that the Quran is a formidable weapon of the Muslims. So he suggested that all copies of the Quran must be confiscated. But before doing that, the government, the British government, appointed a task commission to study the feasibility of this exercise. The report came back that this will be a futile exercise, that we can confiscate every single copy of the Quran, a written copy of the Quran, but the young children of 9 and 10, they have memorized the entire Quran, committed it to memory. So we can destroy copies of the Quran, but we cannot remove the Quran from the heart and the bosoms of these young children, the Huffaz. In fact, one British gentleman went to Panipat and he made that effort. He went out to the bookshops and purchased all the copies of the Quran, put them into a box and threw them into a river. The next day he went to the bookshops. The bookseller had ordered more copies of the Quran. He purchased all of them and did the same. The third, fourth day, continued doing so. One alim of Panipat, which was the center of Quranic learning in those days, observed this British gentleman, and he realized, he put two and two together, he realized what his aim was. So he invited the British gentleman for a cup of tea, and during that tea he also called two young children, maybe 10 or 11 years old. After they had drank the tea, this alim said to one of the two children to recite the Quran. So without looking into the Quran, both children were hafiz. One recited, and wherever he faltered, the other one corrected him. So the British gentleman was quite astonished. He asked the alim, what is happening? So he said to him, I have been observing you for a few days. You have been trying to destroy written copies of the Quran. I have demonstrated to you that our young children have committed the Quran to memory. This child was reciting and the other was correcting him. So the report came back from the task commission that this will be a futile exercise. If we destroy copies of the Quran, we cannot destroy the Quran entirely unless we kill their children, the Huffaz. Then we will have a revolution on our hands. So they dumped that intention of destroying copies of the Quran, and this British gentleman in Panipat, he also learned his lesson. So look at how this backfired. Today if you go to the United Kingdom, the numbers of church congregants have dwindled to the extent that the churches are lying empty. Today Muslims are buying out the churches and converting them into masjids. If you go to a place like Bradford, which I also have visited, you will think you are in a Muslim country, not in a British country. So many people walking around with Islamic attire, with kurtas, women with cloaks, with hijab, with parda. Such is the spread of Islam. The same British government that tried to destroy the name of Islam, today they are seeing Muslims becoming dominant in the population of the United Kingdom, and they can do nothing about it. And of course, Allah Ta'ala also observes these treacherous and heinous activities of the enemies of Islam. Allah Ta'ala's punishment also comes down in all ferocity. Look at places like the United States of America. People that want to destroy the name of Islam, enemies. So often it takes place, you hear of hurricanes, tornadoes, forest fires. Such punishment comes upon them that destroys millions and billions of their properties. When Allah Ta'ala wants to hit also, He hits also very hard. A Jamaat once came from Gambia. One is Zambia. Gambia is further north, to South Africa. The brother in the Jamaat related to the incident that on one occasion, in a certain place in Germany, a conference was held, and the main purpose of the conference was to tarnish the name of Islam. One scoundrel, a wretched person, kafir, went onto the stage and he showed the audience a copy of the Quran, and he said to the audience that in this book of the Muslims there is a verse that states, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. That Allah Ta'ala says, if we were to reveal this Quran upon a mountain, the mountain will humble itself and to break into smithereens, into bits and pieces. So this wretched person took the copy of the Quran, placed it on his head, and tells the audience, look at the falsehood in the Quran. They say the Quran can destroy an entire mountain. I am putting it on my head, but nothing is happening to me. My body is totally intact. And then the wretched person threw the copy of the Quran on the floor and began to jump on the Quran, trampling the Quran. When the conference ended, when Allah Ta'ala wants to hit, he hits very hard. The same person drove his vehicle down the road from this hall where the conference took place, just a mere few hundred meters away. He was involved in such a horrific accident that his entire body was dismembered. Body parts were strewn all across the road. People could not recognize him. So in this way, the Quran Karim broke his body into bits and pieces, into smithereens. So no matter how people try to suppress the spread of Islam, it backfires upon them. Allah Ta'ala makes the deen prosper and spread throughout the four corners of the globe. In the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's uncle, Hazrat Abu Talib, was in the throes of death, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a final effort to let his uncle recite the kalima. He looked after Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was beloved to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallam came to the side of his deathbed and urged him to recite the kalima. That qulu kalimatan uhaju laka biha indallah. Recite the kalima. I will use it to argue on your behalf on the day of Qiyamah that you left the world with iman. But at that point of time, The arch enemy of Nabi Karim Sahasun, Abu Jahl, he also appeared on the scene. And with him another man, Abdullah bin Abi Umayyah, he also arrived. In fact, he was a cousin of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And both of them urged Abu Talib that don't leave the world like a coward. You spent your entire life on the religion, the creed of your forefathers, and now at the last breath, are you going to turn back? Turn your back on the creed of your forefathers? Leave the world with Islam? So because of the pressure put onto him by these two gentlemen, eventually he said, Ala millati Abdul Muttalib, that I die on the deen of my forefathers. He was not fortunate to be blessed with iman. This grieved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That same year, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also lost his beloved wife, Hazrat Khadijah al-Kubra radiallahu anha. That's why that year was known as Aam al-Hudna, the year of grief for Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Two close family members, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lost in a short space of time. But the point I wish to make, this cousin of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah bin Abi Umayyah, we will say radiallahu ta'ala an, because later he was blessed with the good fortune of Islam. But at that point of time, he was such a die-hard mushrik that he used to say that even if I see a stepladder coming down from the sky, an angel coming down and presenting the Quran to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then too I will not be prepared to believe. I will say that this Nabi Muhammad has cast a spell on my eyes. I've been mesmerized. I've been hypnotized. I will still not believe. Such a die-hard mushrik he was. Allah also mentioned something similar in the Quran. وَلَوْ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَابًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَظَلُّوا فِيهِ يَعْرُجُونَ وَقَالُوا إِنَّمَا سُكِّرَتْ أَبْصَارُنَا بَلْ نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ مَسْحُرُونَ. That if we had to open a portal, a door towards the skies, from which we allow them to enter the skies also, then too they will not believe. They will say that a spell has been cast over our eyes. We are people who are bewitched. So that Abdullah bin Abi Umayyah radiallahu ta'ala was of that caliber, that even if a stepladder came from the skies and I see an angel descending, giving the Quran to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, still I will not believe. But when the time came for him to get hidayat, prior to the conquest of Makkah, he saw the beauty of Islam, he saw the eloquence of the Quran Kareem, Allah Ta'ala guided him, he became a Muslim, Abdullah bin Abi Umayyah radiallahu ta'ala. So he prevented Abu Talib from accepting Islam. He was such a staunch enemy of Islam. But then Allah Ta'ala wanted to guide, Allah Ta'ala guided him. Hazrat Tufail bin Amr Dawsi radiallahu ta'ala, from the tribes of Daws, which was the tribe of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu as well. Prior to Nabi from making hijrah to Medina Munawara, he came to Makkah. He was well known among the people of Makkah. This was the time when Nabi from just announced his prophethood. He was gifted with the mantle of prophethood by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, invited people towards Tawheed and his Nabuwat. When Tufail bin Amr Dawsi radiallahu anhu came to Makkah al-Mukarramah, the people of Makkah came to him and said to him that, listen, a person has appeared in our midst who is making a claim of prophethood. He recites verses to the people. Do not listen to him. He is a madman, na'udhu billah. He is a sorcerer, na'udhu billah. He is caused a split in families. Fathers have turned against their sons. Siblings are at loggerheads with one another. He has broken entire families apart by bringing this new deen to them, this new religion to them. So we implore you, do not listen to this person. Do not even listen to his words. So Tufayl bin Amr Dawsi radiallahu anhu says, I heeded the advice, I put earplugs into my ears, so that even by mistake, accidentally too, I do not listen to the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he says that I stayed a few days in Makkah on that occasion. One day, while I was walking through the streets of Makkah, I came close to the Mataf, and I saw this Nabi Muhammad reciting something, lips are moving, people are following, salah was taking place. So he says, I thought to myself that Allah has given me intellect, I'm an intelligent person, I can differentiate between right and wrong. So let me take out these earmuffs and let me take a listen to him. So he took the plug out of his ears and he listened to the beauty of the Quran. That was enough for him. The eloquence of the Quran, the beauty of the Quran recitation was such, he was drawn to Islam like how bees are drawn to honey. And he entered the fold of Islam. Then Nabi Karim said to him, that now that you are a Muslim, you return to your tribe, the tribe of Daus, make an effort on them, give them the dawah towards Islam, let them also enter the fold of this beautiful deen. So when he parted from Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi saw him off, he made a request that, O Nabi of Allah, give me a sign whereby my people can realize that I'm speaking the truth. So Nabi Sallam made dua, Allahumma nawwir lahu, Allah grant him some nur, some light. He said the dua was accepted and a light appeared in the middle of my forehead. In the darkest of nights, that light shone like a torch, showing me the road. But he says on the way, on my return to my tribe, I thought to myself that maybe my tribe will misconstrue the light on the forehead. They will say, your facial features have become disfigured because you have left the religion of your forefathers. So on the way he made dua that Allah Ta'ala transfer this light onto something else. He had a whip in his hand. That light was transferred onto the whip. That was like a bright torch for him. He went, made an effort on his people. After making an effort for many years, hardly a soul accepted Islam. Eventually became frustrated. When Nabi Sallallahu migrated to Madinah Munawwara, he went to Madinah Munawwara and asked Nabi Karim Sallallahu to make bad dua for his people, to curse his people, that they are not prepared to accept the beautiful deen of Islam. So instead of cursing them, Nabi Sallallahu made dua for them, that Allahumma hdi dawsan wa ati bihim. Allah, you guide the people of Daws and bring them to me. The effect of the dua was, Nabi Sallallahu sent him back to make an effort. And now slowly but surely, gradually, he was the first Muslim of his tribe. After him, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala was the second person to accept Islam in the tribe. And thereafter, one after the other, the entire tribe reverted to Islam. So yet to the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah, said to Tufail bin Amr al-Dawsi radiallahu ta'ala, close your ears, do not listen to this person. Do not listen to his speech. They try to suppress, extinguish the light of Islam, but Allah Ta'ala put the haqq of Islam into his heart. There is a very interesting incident written in Tanbih al-Ghafilin of a Jew. This Jew had the habit of opening the Torah on every Saturday. Saturday is regarded as a big day for the Jews. He used to recite the Torah. He used to understand the Hebrew language. Recited with understanding. So one Saturday, when he opened the Torah to recite, he came across four verses that describe the facial attributes of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam and also the akhlaq of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In four verses he saw this. that these were signs of the final messenger. He had already heard about Islam, that the Nabi has migrated to Madinah Munawwara, and some Jews like Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala had also embraced the deen of Islam. So he'd already heard about Nabi Karim Salam. So he became angry when it dawned upon him that mention of the final messenger is written in the Torah. The Jews expected the final messenger to be born among the Jews, not among the Arabs. So he became angry and he tore out those verses that described the attributes of Nabi Karim Salam and he burnt those pages. The next Saturday when he sat down to recite the Torah again, when he opened a certain portion, this time not four, but double that amount, eight verses describing the attributes of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the akhlaq of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Again he became angry. He tore those pages out and burned them. On the third Saturday, when he opened the Torah again, now he found description of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in 12 passages of the Torah. So now he thought to himself, if I keep tearing out pages of the Torah, I'll be left with no book at all. So maybe there is a sign in this for me. Maybe I must go and search for a Nabi. Go meet him personally in Madinah Munawwara. So he went to his peers and to his seniors, requested permission to go to Madinah Munawwara. At first they refused. They said, do not go and listen to the words of this person. You will be led astray. You will forsake the religion of your forefathers. But eventually, when he persisted, they allowed him to go. Then he began the journey to Madinah Munawwara. But it so happened that when he undertook the journey, Nabi Karim Sa'asim had already 3 days prior to that left the world already. Nabi Sa'asim had passed away. He was not aware of that. He continued, proceeded to Madinah Munawwara. When he entered the city of Medina, the first person he met was Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala. Strikingly handsome person from Persia. So he thought perhaps this is that Nabi Muhammad. So he asked him, are you Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He replied in a negative. He said, no, I am merely a lowly servant of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala realized that this man is a stranger. He does not know that Nabi Sallam has passed away 3 days ago. So then the Jew asked Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, that can I meet your Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala said to him, if I break the news to him that Nabi Karim Sallam has passed on, he will return from me dejected. And if I speak a lie, that no, our Nabi is still alive, then I will be branded a liar. So he used a different approach. He said to the man, let me first take you to meet the companions of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you can observe them, look at the akhlaq, their character, their day-to-day routine. So he took the man to Masjid al-Nabawi, where a huge group of Sahaba ikram radhiyallahu anhum were seated there. The loss of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still fresh on their minds. They were in a somber mood, grief, sorrow over them. So this man thought to himself, the Jew, that perhaps the Nabi is seated among this group of people. So he said, called out loudly, As-salamu alayka ya Muhammad. The Sahaba ikram radhiyallahu anhum were astonished. This incident is mentioned in Tanbihul Ghafilin. So nonetheless, he called out, As-salamu alayka ya Muhammad. Sahaba ikram radhiyallahu anhum lifted their heads in amazement that who is a stranger that doesn't know about the passing on of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By him taking the name of our Nabi, he has reignited our sorrow and grief on the loss of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So some Sahaba went up to him and said to him, stranger, do you not know that our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has left this temporary world to meet his Creator? Upon hearing this, the man broke down in tears and he said, there is no limit to my sorrow. I cannot fulfill the purpose of my coming to Medina Munawwara. This is a huge disappointment for me that I cannot meet the Nabi that I came to meet, to look at his physical attributes, whether it matches truly the description mentioned in the Torah. But then he said to the people, can I meet a person called Ali radiallahu ta'ala, the son-in-law and the cousin of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So they brought Ali forward radiallahu ta'ala. He said, I am Ali radiallahu ta'ala. What do you wish to ask me? So the Jew went up to him, took him into one corner and said to him, then describe for me the physical attributes of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ali radiallahu ta'ala went about describing. He said, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a person of medium height, not too tall, not too short. He had a beautiful round cranium and a broad forehead. The pupils of his eyes were pitch black, beautiful. He had long eyelashes. When he would smile, the glitter of his white teeth would show in such a way as if noor, light, was emanating from his teeth. And also, he had a very thin streak of hair from the chest up to his navel that truly seemed very beautiful. His hands were fleshy, full of flesh. The soles of his feet were immersed inward, and his walk with dignity. And he also had a seal of prophethood on the upper part of his back. When the Jew heard this, he said that what you have described to me fits 100% with the description given about the final messenger in our scripture in the Torah. So he says that now that your Nabi is no longer amongst you, can you please take me to the Rawza, to the Mubarak grave of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ali radiallahu anhu took him to the Rawza Mubarak. In front of the Rawza Mubarak, he exclaimed that, O Allah, O the Almighty, the Allah of the Muslimin, I make you witness that today at the feet of the grave of a beloved Nabi, I bring Iman, I testify that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and I testify that the pure being lying in rest here is the final messenger, your Nabi. So, O Allah, I implore you that I have come all this way to meet your beloved Nabi, which I was unable to do. He has passed on. So here I am in front of his Rawza Mubarak. I am conveying my salams to your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, if my salam is accepted in your court, then give me death right now at the feet of your beloved Nabi. Allah Ta'ala accepted the dua. He collapsed there and then, and he passed away. Hazrat Ali radhiyallahu anhu then took his body, gave it ghusl, and shrouded it with a kafan, and buried him with dignity. So yet, look at this. In the beginning, he was angered to read about the description of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Torah. So much so he tore out pages of the Torah. Totally angry. And here Allah Ta'ala guided him. Eventually, he became a Muslim who had the good fortune to pass away in Masjid al-Nabawi at the feet of Rasul Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam in front of the Rawza. So in this way, the conspiracy, propaganda machinery of the enemies of Islam, no matter how far they try and turn it, it backfires upon them. No matter how they wish to extinguish the light of Islam, Allah will make it spread through the four corners of the globe, throughout the entire world, and we see that happening today. Western world is already panicking that soon all of Europe will become an Islamic state. And that will happen. Nabi Muhammad prophesied that. The wheels are already in motion for that to take place. So we should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala granted us the gift of Iman. Most of us born in Muslim homes and others perhaps blessed with Islam at a later stage of their life, they too are indeed fortunate. We make dua to Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala makes the conspiracies, propaganda of the enemies of Islam fail. We make dua Allah ta'ala grant them hidayat to come into the fold of Islam. And if hidayat is not meant for them, may Allah ta'ala remove their fault from the face of this earth and let Islam prosper. Allah ta'ala grant us istiqamat upon Islam, that we become true practicing Muslims, because that is the actual dawah towards Islam. Our practical example. We should become role models. Then we will become drawcards for other people to come into the fold of Islam. May Allah ta'ala give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. As I mentioned, in the morning, inshallah, half an hour before the adhan, about 10 to 4, we'll have our zikr majlis and a tafsir lesson after the fajr salah. Also, certain brother, alhamdulillah, has been kind enough. He has printed copies of the Dua Anas, radiallahu ta'ala, which I mentioned about two Ramadans ago. The Dua taught by Nabiya Karim Sawam to Hazrat Anas bin Malik, radiallahu ta'ala. That time I mentioned what a beautiful Dua this is. We ought to all memorize it. So there at the exit, you will find a box. There are printed copies of the Dua. Take them. You can take a few extra copies for your family and friends as well. Learn it yourself. Exhort them to learn it. And inshallah, they will see the benefit. When Hajjaj bin Yusuf brought Anas radiallahu ta'ala in front of him to execute, he was unable to do so. Yet he was a tyrant that killed hundreds and thousands of people in cold blood. But Anas bin Malik was protected by virtue of the dua Anas. Recently, last year also, we may have heard Mufti Taqi Usmani, Dan Barakatu, recently was ill. We make dua Allah ta'ala granting full shifa kamila, inshallah. So last year, when an assault took place, he was attacked. He was in a vehicle with his family and children. Many bullets were fired into the vehicle. But miraculously, a bullet did not even graze Azhar Mufti Taqi Sahib, Daman Barakatuhum, his children, his family, they were all spared. His driver unfortunately succumbed to the injuries. One bodyguard also became shaheed. And Azhar Mufti Sahib survived. And later, he explained to some close people that he has a habit of reciting Dua Anas radiallahu ta'ala in the mornings and in the evenings. And he felt sure, convinced, that it was a barakat of the dua that miraculously made him escape all those bullets that were fired. Not a single bullet hit him. So it's a very valuable dua. We are living in an environment of crime and other elements that wish to harm us. So the dua is very valuable. Take the dua, take few extra copies for your families as well. Learn the dua and make a practice of reciting it morning and evening. Inshallah, you will see the effect of that with the fadl of Allah in your life. Our next majlis, supposed to be in Rabiul Akhir, supposed to be in Jumad al-Ula in December, but our madrasa also will be closed during those days when we have the majlis. So we'll have to skip next month. Most people will also be on vacation. So the next majlis will not be in December, but in January, about the 16th of January, inshallah, in the month of Jumad al-Ukhra. That is when the next majlis will take place, about the 16th of January. So make a note of that, inshallah, SMSs will be sent out to give reminders to brothers. May Allah ta'ala accept from all of us, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى سلام على المرسلين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأنزل المقدر المقرب عندك اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة والصلاة النافعة صل على سيدنا محمد وارض عني رضا لا تسقط بعده أبدا اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك، وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، وارحم سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد، كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما باركت على سيدنا وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم، وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم، وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وأزواجه وذريته، كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم، وبارك على سيدنا محمد وأزواجه وذريته، كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته، كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم، وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته، كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته، كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم، وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم، وترحم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما ترحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ترحم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما ترحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم تحنن على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما تحننت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم سلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما سلمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، وبارك وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، وارحم سيدنا محمد وآل سيدنا محمد، وكما صليت وباركت وترحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي كما بارك على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد صلاة تكن لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء وأعطه الوسيلة والفضيلة بالمقام المحمود الذي وعدته وزه عنا ما هو أهله وزه أفضل ما جازيت نبينا قومه ورسولا عن أمته وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل علينا معهم اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما بارك على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك علينا معهم صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما جعلتها على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وصلى الله على النبي الأمي التحيات لله والصلوات الطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بسم الله وبالله تحيات الله وصلوات الطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار نسأل الله الجنة ونعوذ بالله من النار التحيات لله الزاكيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء تحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين اللهم اغفر لي واهدني اللهم اغفر لنا واهدنا التحيات الطيبات والصلوات والملك لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله تحيات لله صلوات الله زاكيات لله السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله شهدت أن محمد رسول الله التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات لله الصلوات الطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. بسم الله والسلام على رسول الله.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين. اللهم يا حنان يا منان يا من يا سماعة يا رب ويا من الجلال والإكرام. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين، فإنك إن تكلنا إلى أنفسنا تكلنا إلى الرعف وغرة الغم وخطية. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين واجعلنا من المتطهرين واجعلنا من الذين لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا حلالا طيبا وعملا متقبلا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك من نبيك وعبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك من نبيك وعبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأنت المستعان ولك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. صلى الله تعالى على خير خلق محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. بفضل سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، سلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.